Vladimir Putin was annoyed, or maybe just bored. The Russian leader had been patiently fielding questions from a small group of international journalists in the restaurant of a modest hotel in Davos. Then, one of the queries seemed to irritate him. He stared back at the questioner, an American, and said slowly, through an interpreter, "I'll answer that question in a minute. But first, let me ask you about the extraordinary ring you have on your finger." All heads in the room swiveled. "Why is the stone so large?" A few of the audience began to giggle, and the journalist, whose ring was now being scrutinized by everybody in the room, looked uncomfortable. Putin took on a tone of mock sympathy and continued, "You surely don't mind me asking, because you wouldn't be wearing something like that unless you were deliberately trying to draw attention to yourself." There was more laughter. By now, the original question had been forgotten. It was a masterclass in distraction and bullying. The year was 2009, and Putin had already been in power for almost a decade. But this was my first encounter with the Russian leader in the flesh during his visit to the World Economic Forum. Putin's ability to radiate menace without raising his voice was striking. It was a reminder of his background in the secret service of the Soviet Union, the KGB, formative years which remain a key to his character, his mystique, and his behavior in office. He is, in the words of one of the best books about him, an operative in the Kremlin. In many ways, Putin is both the archetype and the model for the current generation of strongman leaders. It is all too symbolic that he took power on New Year's Eve in 1999, at the dawn of the 21st century. Until Xi Jinping took over in Beijing in 2012, the Russian leader's style looked like a curious anomaly among the leaders of the world's major powers. His macho authoritarianism and encouragement of a cult of personality looked out of place in a technocratic age when the dominant political figures were cool, understated figures such as China's Hu Jintao, Germany's Angela Merkel, or Barack Obama in the White House. In fact, when Putin first emerged as leader of Russia, it was not obvious that he would last very long in the job, let alone that he would emerge as a new model of authoritarian leadership. As the chaotic Yeltsin era of the 1990s drew to a close, Putin's ascent to the top job was eased by his former colleagues in the KGB. But he was also approved of by Russia's richest and most powerful people, the oligarchs, who saw him as an unthreatening figure, a capable administrator and safe pair of hands, who would not threaten established interests. Viewed from the West, Putin looked like a relatively reassuring figure. In his first televised speech from the Kremlin, given on New Year's Eve 1999, just a few hours after taking over from Yeltsin, Putin promised to protect freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, freedom of the mass media, ownership rights, these fundamental elements of a civilized society. In March 2000, he won his first presidential election and proudly asserted afterwards that "we have proved that Russia is becoming a modern, democratic state." Experienced observers of Russian elections argued that the whole process was carefully stage-managed. Putin himself had hardly bothered to campaign. But it was still significant that he felt the need to assert that Russia was becoming a modern, liberal democracy. 20 years later, still in the Kremlin, Putin would take a very different line, declaring with relish that "the liberal idea has become obsolete." Russia, he now asserted, had nothing to learn from the West. Liberals cannot simply dictate anything to anyone, just like they have been attempting to do over recent decades.